Hello, this is Universal Soul Love. I'm Dr. Lana Love.
This is Detective David Love. Welcome to our show. We're broadcasting live from the land down under on BBS Radio Network, and we're glad to have you with us today. We have our special guest with us, Patrick McCormick, who's an author and channeler of an intergalactic being named Kartron. He's been our guest on this show several times in the past. We're very happy to have Patrick here with us today.
Patrick began his channeling work after going through a fundamental quantum transformation, both spiritually and physically, on Bell Rock Vortex in Sedona, back during the harmonic convergence in 1987. Patrick has channeled a variety of divine beings, including archangels, ascended masters, engineers from motherships, divine councils, and heavenly hosts. In 1994, Patrick began to channel Kartron. Kartron is an interdimensional being here to assist humanity to embrace and embody its true divine potential. And Kartron has been with us on the show quite a few times, channeled by Patrick.
We love Kartron.
We absolutely do. So
great sense of humor.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And Kartron's assisting us with what we call the Super Consciousness Project, which we've talked about in the past on several shows. And we may be doing an ascension session today, an ascension process with Kartron, and we may talk a little bit more about the paradigm shift today and what the ascension means, and who knows what will come up on Universal Soul Love with Patrick and Kartron. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to always work with you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Same here.
You know, I've noticed thing that over here, and you guys reported also that there's been some very interesting technology, shall we say, unique opportunities, not challenges, but it's just, I think there's lots of changes going on all levels of humanity right now. So this is a perfect time to do this.
This was very interesting because we were supposed to have you on our other network, and that just didn't work out. So we've decided to go to video, which is an opportunity. I mean, it's a different medium, but it works.
And it's more direct and raw for our viewers. So it's all good.
Things work out.
Absolutely.
So here we are.
So
yeah, the opportunities that present themselves when what looks like it is problematic usually become in a greater way if you have your consciousness in the right perspective to where you can be available to be taking that opportunity and bring it to its greatest potential.
Absolutely. We talk with David a lot about taking any so-called challenges in life, and perhaps rather than reacting against them, riding the wave of any challenges to see whether we can evolve through them or make the greatest possible,
the most of the situation. We've actually learned, that we could, when we've been faced with what I sometimes you call it a problem, and we've taken a problem and we've learned to use a problem to actually use it towards a positive outcome in another area or another problem, which I know we don't like to use the word problem anyhow, but it's kind of an interesting way of dealing with a situation.
And I think that represents true resilience, actually seeing any problem as an opportunity.
That's an opportunity.
And it's so much, you know, it's such a great way of viewing the world.
Yeah,
you know, when I was in Hawaii from 89 for about 20 years, 1989, I was studying humanity's situation. And in Hawaii, on Maui especially, there's this isolated opportunity to be one with the world. And so, excuse me, there's a canine that barked. And so I was able to take the problems and realize what they really were, which are messengers. And these become the opportunities. And if you know how to listen to a problem just right, it's actually telling you exactly what's needed. And this becomes a divine opportunity because on Maui, you have an isolated factor of oneness. And this allowed me to study humanity in such a unique way that it was, you know, that it was all a great opportunity.
And I wonder what... I wonder what's going on with, we had the same problem, the same issue last week when you work with Rebecca Renee, who channels an angelic being known as Soleil, and I think at Dominion Star Angel, and another being, another angelic being called Radiant, and that didn't. We had another problem where we had a dropped call on that network, so that one didn't work out as too well either. So
well, I guess the other thing to realize is that where our world is going through a lot of physical change as well as spiritual change, so a lot of solar flares going out, electronic equipment isn't always working as well as it used to. We are going through a lot of change as
we go
3D to possibly 4D or 5D. You could probably tell us a bit more about all the different dimensions that we're traveling through.
It seems to happen on many levels for many different reasons. There's spirits intervening and there's solar flares and all sorts of timelines converging and collapsing. And I don't know. I'm lost.
Yeah, you know, if you take and look at it from the divine perspective, because I was able to, in looking at the problems of humanity, able to go up above it, and I started saying, how would God look at this? Because you can't solve it when you're in the forest and wondering how it's designed. And so with this, to know the fine print of what happened with Rebecca, I was there with her during her interview with you guys, and in a car, and we were doing that from a vehicle, but it suddenly went up 15 degrees. And what happened was, this has happened like 3 or 4 times, and it's ironic how it often happens with Australia. So for some reason, the land down under is very high. And so that showed me that there was a conversion. It was when Radiant, if you guys remember, spoke the angelic language, and we said, oh, make it strong. And sometimes I forget that they can make it really strong because I want to make sure everybody really gets an experience. And so they came in strong, all right. And two dissonant frequencies cannot occupy the same quantum space. So what happened was it came into this realm, and you know, that dominant vibration's gonna do something. And so I think that was one of the main factors that knocked out the call to that network and to you guys. And you just had an across the board kind of like a weirdness or a shutdown. So Rebecca's angels, this is not the first time that they've done that. So Cartron has learned not to do it through technology. So if anybody is doing this, don't do your energy work through the tech. You will be asking for it because the tech is not designed for a celestial or higher divine vibration. You can do it and have somebody feel the energy. If you do it, show up where they are because you're not distant or separate from them, even though you may be physically at a different part on the same world. So just know that don't use the Earth tech. It's not designed for it. And it's like no computers are harmed during the making of this session.
Well, I'm really glad to hear the Cartron is in tune with our technology and it's not going to knock the computers out. Very reassured. So we wanted to talk a little bit about the Super Consciousness Project, and we're hoping to be able to do an ascension session with you.
So should we quickly just talk about the Super Consciousness Project again, just to debrief?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this was something that came up several years ago when I was at a spiritualist church in Florida. I was doing a workshop, and one of my past lives came forward. We were supposed to give spirit messages, and I might as well just say it. So we were brought under hypnosis, if you'd call it hypnosis, and the presenter said, I want you to see yourself in a room, and I saw myself in a boardroom, a traditional corporate boardroom, and he said, there'll be a door there, and someone will come through the door, and suddenly 12 beings came through the door, and sort of mentally they told me that their name is the Committee of 12 or perhaps the Council of 12. I know there's a lot of talk about Councils of 12. I heard Committee of 12 anyhow. And these were 5 businessmen. They were kind of heavy set, older, gray hair. They all looked identical, and they said that they're actually one being as a collective of 12. And they gave me a proposal, and it had something to do with, I want to use the right words, but it had something to do with the judgment of or the determination of the human experiment. And I didn't really quite understand what it was I was hearing. And I thought it was a message for the presenter, and perhaps it was my past life guide speaking through me, but it may have actually been a message for me possibly. And I can't really give the details of what that proposal was. But nonetheless, I ended up later on coming to Australia and working with Lana. And but the Super Consciousness Project, my past life guide told me, Arthur Waite, just to say the name, said that he could facilitate a group of 12. We had mediums, you know, this was spiritualist church is where they teach, you know, have mediumship development circles. And he said he could show how talented mediums could do a group channeling where usually you have one person like Patrick channeling a being like Cartron. And what he was saying is you can channel some type of energy or some type of force. And I'm not quite clear on what he meant by this, so that you could manifest, so that the power would almost be exponential, almost like two minds aren't double in power, but it could be a thousandfold. And he could prove how you could create, your manifesting power is so much greater when you have a group channeling. So it's very different from the usual meditation. I know Patrick will have a lot to say about this, and we've certainly talked about this before, and we sort of have what we call a guardian council where a number of us often meet and discuss various issues and projects together, and the super consciousness is one of them. And we call these groups catalyst groups, and a channeler leading a catalyst group of mediums would be a catalyst leader. At least that's how we've been talking about it, and I'm not clear on.
So we could say this everything is almost like cutting edge spiritual or consciousness technology, where we're playing with consciousness in a way that can accentuate the power of manifestation for the good of humanity in the world.
Yes, to raise the vibration of the planetary consciousness,
really,
and the collective consciousness of humanity. So we'll turn it over to you now, Patrick.
I was getting information. You know, sometimes the information that you are opening yourself to is not available until the very moment that, say, another person shares it. So I was getting these visions of this, and maybe it might be best to have Cartron talk about this, because now we're talking about the dynamic quantum science of fractal amplification. Really cool. Yeah, because Cartron is going to be scanning the, you're going to have him on probably. And so then he was scanning this, and he can probably better describe it. I can talk about Earth level from what I saw, but I know what they were doing, because Cartron has actually split himself into five primary beings, each one for a primary personality set on planet Earth, in order to engage that properly, and that he formed his own council. So that's the same science. And I'd never heard of anyone doing that. And now if you get into the separate incarnations, such as what an ascended master like Saint Germain does, imagine how many times Archangel Michael or Michael or Saint Germain are invoked every day, right? Probably thousands of times. And they have to be present enough or fully present engage that reality. So it's like a keep splitting the atom type of thing. And it gets into this really advanced state of consciousness where you can all becomes one. And so I know why they chose 12 aspects. And so that was really interesting, because in the quantum science, you don't add, you multiply. So if you take 12 times 12, guess what number that is? Right,
the 144,000.
So that,
we've been hearing a lot about that.
They also use those divine number systems as access nexus points. The gateways are able to be accessed, and that's why the sacred canon, the sacred geometry, was doing that. So that's pretty advanced that he split himself. It's interesting that he just kept his same look, because the way that intervention occurs depends on our perception. So someone will, an angel or an orb of light or whatever. And like Rebecca did a cellular session on me, which she does for people. And all of it's like a few hundred of my ancestors showed up. And that was the first time in a session that ever happened. And what's interesting is that we got a recipe from one of the probably great, 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 great grandmother types. And it sounds really good. So we're going to try a past life recipe, a beautiful vegetable chowder of some sort.
And so past life dinner.
Past life recipes. Yeah. I get recipes from the goddess once in a while. She gives me cooking lessons. Apparently.
So if you're going to do it like they do it, no GMOs, right? So, but it was interesting. And so we're going to substitute lard with, say, butter or something. But it's very interesting. That information is now able to transgress over. So if you took your past life and moved it forward into this now, you basically created a bridge between the timelines. Now, only really advanced beings are able to start utilizing time as a mechanism rather than stuck in the linear moment. So that's the information that I got when you were explaining it. And so it's very interesting, David, that you are back here joining us and hosting a show and are about ready to have an interdimensional. It's like, we don't know what's going to happen. And that's the beauty of it. You don't need to know in order to be available to be the perfect vessel for this divinity. Mm-hmm. That leaves the unknown. Like, you want to have some of that excitement of not knowing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I that life is like that. I think that's why we don't. Well, there could be a number of reasons why we don't know where we come from or before we're born, or where we go after we die, or we can't accurately always tell the future.
And it's interesting that consciousness is a almost plastic fabric that can be manipulated. I remember David, of course, is a written metaphysical author, has written some books on metaphysics. And I first heard from David that consciousness can actually be split as well as come together. Mm-hmm. There's a plasticity about it.
Right, splitting.
Yeah, it's interesting. The momentary, the silence, the moments of silence are sometimes the busiest. Like I can feel Cartron's energy and he's scanning all of these things of all the different levels. And it's really cool. I get a front row seat every time, even though I'm not here when he's through. And so the splitting and also the bending of consciousness, the warping of plasticine material is a very unique concept, because imagine if you took consciousness and put it into geometric forms, which are the building blocks of creation.
I mean, I've seen how I have a being, I believe he's a companion of the mystic. I don't exactly know what he is. He's come up recently. He's had a lot of incarnations, but he's sort of gone beyond his, calls himself Sedwick, and he's quite powerfully calls himself the...
He walks between worlds.
Right. And he's able to to influence our perception of reality somehow. I call him, he's part of the wise mind. But anyhow, Patrick may know more, something about this as well, but...
You know, one of the things I'm noticing is that I kind of, out of the periphery of the vision of your body, you can see things kind of with your soul, right? That other sense. And so I've actually learned to have a transdimensional or a divine periphery. And I'm feeling that we are actually like little flares going up and we are getting the attention of these beings. And so when that happens and they start engaging us, then, you know, it's kind of like all rules are subject to change.
I think you're right.
So I think that it's important to still have no computers harmed during the making of these sessions. When Cartron was doing Second Life, the virtual world, and he was actually doing things as a virtual avatar. So he was using me as an avatar, which is a representative. So then I would have an avatar in the computer. So we'd go avatar to avatar to avatar to avatar to the higher self. And it was so interesting. He shut down my computer 3 times. And so very expensive. So we learned how to do it another way. And you don't even want to have the energy go next to the technology, because that the field will still affect it. It's not designed for transdimensional states, but, you know, so you have it happen where it is. And so that was very interesting to have that go on. And, you know, as I look at this, time itself is like a smartphone where we can tap into it. Because if you use, for instance, David, are tapping into something that happened in this current life in the past, and then it was a past life, then you have this really interesting tic-tac-toe thing going.
Yeah, I mean, it's I have a very unusual situation being a collective where I have so many aspects of my personality that can come forward in this life
and these are
provide me with information, which they do all the time.
And these are past lives of David. And I guess that brings into focus the fact that time doesn't really exist. And you can actually have multiple timelines present at the same time and even future selves present.
Yeah. You can, but it's designed to keep things clean and keep incarnations in a more purified individuality. If you start blending it all together, then it kind of doesn't make for a proper polarized, individualized, separate experiment. So imagine what they have to look at, the politics of ascension, as they change from one paradigm to the next, because you're talking about a unified field coming in compared to a polarized reality of light and dark for the last 13 millenniums. Of the dark, you get to the light. Now, this, of course, this isn't the first time the universal day is flipped around, and sometimes the planet goes with it. But you have all iterations of separateness and polarization and even lesser light called shadow that have to be considered and taken into account, because if you bring in a unified field all at once, game over, clean up on planet four, okay, next. This is a lot different, this ascension. They're really taking their time with it to make sure that these things are good, recorded well. And so even though this angst that we all may be feeling one way or the other on whatever side of the fence you may be on, if you have a fence anymore, then, you know, this is taking longer, but the value is going to be so much greater, because this time we're not losing any of the data. And it's not going to really just fall and become a big mess again.
Patrick, can I ask you, we just had a really interesting interview with Miriam Knight, and she mentioned sacred activism, with which author Andrew Harvey came up with, and he's going to be on the Paradise Shift Conference, by the way, with us on Portal to Ascension on July 18th, along with a lot of other great authors and speakers. Mm. But she mentioned that it's not this. There's a common question and theme that comes up on Universal Soul Love to do with, do you meditate because thoughts create reality? Should we just be sending out positive thoughts and doing no other action, or should we be taking action as well, being, you know, sort of the light healer or light worker versus the light warrior? And she believes both are essential to our, to a sort of a positive outcome or whatever. And I'm wondering what you think about that in regards to the paradigm shift and the ascension process that's going on.
As you look at that, I see 10 primary areas that you've just mentioned. Even though it sounds like a few sentences, you have different, very different distinct concepts of a primary nature. And so I'll just stick with a few of them. In dealing with somebody who was an activist in a prior life, and she basically concluded that she was Alice Bailey, and she was an activist in his life. Now, that she said, well, when do we, you know, because she was out there making a difference in the political world, this political world. And so, but here's the trick, a tricky part. If you engage this world to a certain degree, then you are in this level of paradigm. There's different levels of reality that are available other than this one, and it gets lighter and lighter, or darker and darker. And so it depends. As you go up, you get connected to the vibration of your true nature called your soul signature, that frequency of harmonic that you're given when you become a soul. So if you engage this and want to make a difference in this world where, you know, there's a lot of weird stuff going on, and there's a lot of things that we can do to bless it, then you are engaging in this reality. However, if you completely let it go on this level, then you can go up to the vibrational level. That's more relevant. I'm not the only one that has weird sound. That's cool. That's more relevant to the nature of your existence on an individual level. As you get into that, if you let go, so as she was talking about activism, and then she said something very profound. She goes, well, if, you know, if we don't do it, who's going to? And that really set me in motion with, yes, you know, it really make that change and that difference, because what is the difference between caring here and being available to the higher divine possibility where the dynamics are of a higher beautiful nature? So at that time, so if you look at sacred activism, the engagement that Carter has done since 1994 was basically just that, but from that high divine mind of God point of view, because he was seeing that there was a grave imbalance. So what is the level of intervention? Then you have two other primary sciences that Cartron has covered, which is the science of being which is beingness. There's no movement in relation to this realm. And then the science of doing, which has movement, like even a thought has movement from one whole purpose of reasoning to the next. So then which level are you going to engage? The realm of beingness, which heaven could be considered, or the realm of doing it. So these are all the things to consider, but how in the heck can you make sense of it if you don't even have a reference to be able to frame it properly? I mean, how many people do you know are basically getting wonky trying to use time as a reference anymore? This doesn't work. And so you have to start using it as in the way that the co-creative deities, the working class gods do. And so if you do sacred activism, you just basically then, I would say, what we have done is we come in, we make a difference, and there's an imbalance, and it's really necessary to invoke that. Scientific protocols of intervention are necessary to make sure that they're adhered to properly. So those are some of the considerations that actually the new interdimensional that's what is. I would say on that, and Karchan will approach. So it sounds like you get settled again. So that's what's going on. The nature of our reality is also changing. The paradigm shift, you know, that's changing. And are we the chicken or the egg in this process? I'm wondering. Other beings, and if we get it ourselves, then I think basically we can graduate, whatever that means, but you know, not have to do the incarnation again. So that's some of the thoughts on that from my view.
Okay. I mean, that's a lot of information. If it's difficult for us to understand what to do in any particular situation, then I certainly can't judge anyone in how they respond or react to the things that are happening outside of them in the world at this time. I think it's difficult for everyone to sort through their thoughts and feelings in regards to what's happening and with them in their lives, in their personal lives, and in the world. So we just have to, I think, be very patient with each other and try not to judge.
Yes. You know, we are basically one of the main functions that I see that we all have is basically holding the place for each other while we go through our process. And so it's not really to engage, but basically hold the point or be the pillar as a reference that will allow the evolutionary state or the covenant or the completion of an experience or relationship or whatever to occur. And so as we are the references for one another, a divine possibility can be much greater, because in that way, the 12 times 12, or you take that and you have a dozen council members, that's like taking the white ray and splitting it into the prismatic qualities of the interdimensional consciousness as well.
So I think someone once mentioned it was about holding the sacred space. Which, having said that, I think Lana has to go.
Unfortunately, I have to go now, but we're looking forward to you perhaps channeling Kartron and perhaps taking us through an ascension session.
Okay.
So thank you very much for being with us on the show, and I'll talk to you later.
Bye. Yes, Lana, thank you so much. It's been really great working with you, and so, you know, we'll talk later.
All right, we're going to continue. You and I can continue on with the show.
Yes.
Okay. So, speaking of, and talking about sacred space, well, that's where we're at. We're in the middle of space here
yes,
in the
are.
Show.
So now, you mentioned ascension or a paradigm shift or whatever discussion, and it probably would involve. What would you like to do right now?
Well, why don't we have an ascension process and see, and you know, I mean, normally, I guess this was intended. I think it was intended to do as in a group setting in person, but I think that we can do this. We've done this before, and we've done this over the airwaves, and we've done this on our show where we can have people
join in? I'm not sure how it would work in this situation, but
Hartron Kent is already going to take care of that, and he'll explain it. So I'll bring him through, and let's take it from there.
Okay.
So I'll talk to you later. Have fun with this.
I'm just going to meditate and let you go into it.
Okay. Hello, David. How are you doing?
I'm great. Great to have you with us.
We just scanned your being into the current, as to the current status of what's going on in relation to this life and this incarnation of you who is talking with us on this show. And so we got a current reading, and it's very interesting what's happening with you. We are observing a multi-incarnational, transdimensional process where you're having a phasic shift going back and forth from one life to another. And so that can be very unsettling when you're used to having one life to use as your reference. And so this is what we are seeing, is that you are basically phasing in and out of these different levels of reality. Have you noticed an increase in that for yourself?
I have. It started several years ago, and it's been increasing ever since. The incidence of sort of an altered state experience where other personalities are coming through, and some of them are very practical and skilled and talented and very wise. And there seems to be different, not only is it a collective of different aspects of my total character, my oversoul, but I also have access to my higher self, and so it's very complicated. And I'm told that this isn't a typical situation, and even my aspects say it can be very difficult to manage and to keep it balanced.
Yes, it can. So one of the best practices is what the Ascended Masters have utilized for millenniums in order to engage the people that are invoking them or dealing with them or wondering about them, or out of the necessity of the invocation protocols of intervention with their office. And so, but as you said, it's complicated. Now, and also as far as engaging the group, we are recording this, we are imprinting this recording on several levels with what we call real-time recording. So we are having this group experience that is about to occur, happen in the moment that whoever watches this happens. So everybody, you guys are going to join us in this moment because it's happening now relative to your first time. And so the complication is based upon almost like a fractal dissemination of a splitting of that from, you take a spectrum, the white light, move it into the prismatic colors and stuff, but there's all these other dimensional possibilities. And so the nature of the universe being extremely of a simplified nature, because the whole universe is designed like an atom or a subatomic particle. So likewise, an existence, either be a primary incarnation of this life or many lives coming in and going back and forth, it's like pretty soon you're going to have to install a street light in your head to find out which life is coming by, can get very busy. So the references that are appropriate to use are the ones that they all have in common. And these are what is the, so for instance, the primary reference for all of those lives is that this one is the primary life right now for David. Because, and for all you people who are watching, how many of you are getting a little schizo, feeling like, oh my God, I'm flipping, I'm losing my keys, or they disappear or whatever. Think of time as layers of fabric upon one another to make a fabric. And these layers are all changing and the fabrics are unthreading and everything. So time is no longer a juxtaposed construct that is viable as a primary reference. There's a whole new science that's being brought in. Likewise, multi-incarnations simultaneously occurring in this one as time is becoming an unreferential reference is necessary to just, okay, for instance, what do they all have in common? David Love in this life. And so then that is primary incarnation. So now that's what this is, the reference. That's not, oh, I'm now
right.
Or on this being or this counselor or this council of 12. It's like they all have to come to the crossroads that is David. And so for everybody to maintain a sanity in this time, just continue to breathe into center. That's why we created the still point. So 1, 2, 3, this is a very quick example. All right, everybody, we're going to get you. And on the count of three, you're going to take a very deep breath and you're just going to fall back into the very center of your being. It's very quiet there. Because there's not all busy stuff going on. So 1, 2, 3, take a deep breath. And breathe out and release your life. Keep falling back to center. And find the very stillest point within. It's very peaceful. It's like a tranquil garden. That level of vibration. Breathe again. And breathe out all of this stuff. That is you. Now we've created a quantum state, okay? The breath is one of the primary portals when in a body to access the different dimensions or processes beyond time. So now we're going to open up a God gate above you guys. So everybody 4 feet up, 4 feet across, or 1.3 meters, relatively speaking, in the metric system. So now we open that God gate. And we're going to bring that energy in. So now everybody focus up. We're going to place you above there where your spirit guides are. So just see yourself up there and in your bodies at the same time. Now breathe that breath with your spirit guides. Exhale. Okay, now breathe the spirit guide energy and breathe it out into this world. So you're basically traveling through the gateway, and now we're going to put the pillar in. This is the pillar of transformation that we did with a lot of people. Okay, so now you can breathe on earth and exhale in heaven. Now what this does, David, is it creates a calibration between dimensions. The breath can be something that allows for a unification field to occur. If you do that properly, imagine if you could breathe the breath of your past life as well, although that might be a bit much for this broadcast. If you are wanting a stronger connection with the past life that you are dealing with, take a breath of their breath and let them take a breath of yours, and that way you will join and create a harmonic alignment with the lungs. So that's two simple things that could really help simplify the process. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm feeling good. I really did feel something when you did that, when that process. Of course, I'm a hypnotist too, so I'm very open and susceptible to those kind of processes as well. But I did definitely feel it in my body and in my mind.
Now, we did not do any hypnotic processes. This was a transdimensional conjoining. It was literally, we opened up the realms and we brought them together of the seen and the unseen. And so as this happens, it's like the squared circle coming together in perfect balance. You guys can look that up, a squared circle, which is geometer's formula for the square being linear or material life and the circle being universal. And when they are balanced in mass or dimension or diameter or they're proportionate, then you have a balance if you're with your seen and unseen. So what we did was literally conjoin the different dimensions. And so it is a very hypnotic effect, though, is it not?
It is. It definitely is. I definitely felt that in my body and visually, I think.
Now, we also ought to let you know, because full disclosure is necessary. It's mandatory when engaging with you guys, because if we're going to do something with you, we have to inform you so that we can gain your full consent. Those are the protocols of intervention from the divine realms. And so we did begin the ascension process with this breath. It's that simple. So if you got all this busyness, everybody, just breathe heaven's breath and let heaven breathe your earthly breath and breathe it out, fall to center. Now, how simple is that? You can be doing anything in a body in this life. You could be at work, at a convenience store, in a war, or anything, and you just breathe that. Pretty soon you've got a different quantum state indeed, because you're breathing from the center of your soul now. Mm. And that evokes a whole different field. When you breathe out that energy, you actually recalibrated it with the quantum state. And that is primarily not notoriously connected with polarized reality.
Mm. And this is a much more powerful form of what I learned in martial arts about the breath being the center of your power, because you're not only are you, you're, when you do this, I guess you're refocusing on yourself and on your breath and on your body, and you're balancing yourself. You're basically coming to your zero point or your point of singularity, and it's recentering you. It's recentering your thoughts and taking you out of whatever chaos you're in. But what you're doing with this process is even more than that. So,
yes, and you notice how it's simpler. You don't take years to have to study how martial arts work. Now, there's a whole other science, the science of nothing, which is too much of a segue, not Sedgwick, segue to from the subject matter. But if you get in and with your martial arts practices into the breath and you become one with nothing, then you are one with everything. That's kind of a different.
No, I do understand that. We were at a Buddhist group yesterday where we were talking about what emptiness actually is and what Buddha meant by emptiness. And he said emptiness, it's very much related to oneness. Emptiness is, it's emptiness arising because it's sort of you, everything in the universe is connected to everything else. And so emptiness is, you can't be anything other than what you are, or the object can't be anything other than what it is because it's connected to everything in the universe. It's everything is oneness of consciousness.
No,
I'm probably not. Maybe I'm not explaining that correctly. What emptiness actually is in the Buddhist sense, but
you see, from the higher realms, there has to be a very specific protocol to allow this wisdom and these sciences to come in. Because if you guys do this too much, you, as an incarnate, you can really slip off the reservation and suddenly Earth is not your primary reference and you can, well, there's lots of other things that can happen which are not really relegated to what the requirements are for being in a body here. So this is something that is regulated in a way that will allow for the greatest value as a separate incarnate awakening and ascending. You see, even the ascended masters are getting ready to get their graduation papers because humans of a high nature, such as yourself, are getting into ascended mastery. And so you will have those same abilities, but upgraded, you know, an even smarter phone, so to speak. So it's going to be really interesting. And they are watching your kind very closely. We'll just let you know. And Patrick is like, wait a second. And he catches that out of the corner of his cosmic eye sometimes. It's like, what are you guys up to? And they're just moot. And he's like, come on. And they're like, moot. And he's like, you can tell us. No, they're moot. Because they don't want to taint or alter this possibility at all, because they did such a good job of kind of allowing the facilitation or facilitating itself the mess up from before. So it's like, guys, hands off this time. So you will notice both the darkest and the lightest, kind of a hands-off thing on the incarnates. And here you are, guys, as mortals, right? You have polarity, you've got aging, you've got this other, you're subject to this stuff, poverty and consciousness and all this stuff, but there's all this cosmic possibility. So it's like, what's the scoop? Why is there so much focus and attention on a species called humanity when it seems so fragile and takes a lot of work just to keep it alive? The amount of spectrum of atmosphere is like this thin that allows humans to exist. And then it's like, you know, you got this whole big thing. And so it's like, there's a lot of work that goes into humans in their separateness. So as we do this, we are bringing in these ascension things. What we don't have time for this broadcast, we will then continue. And then if you want to continue the ascension process series, then we can give you some God sciences, but it's for the light of heart, not really for the faint of heart.
Well, we are spiritual warriors, and we want everyone to, well, we would like everyone to be spiritual warriors, but I think you have to have a strong spiritual grounding so that you don't get lost in hyperspace, I guess.
One of the interesting keys in an ascension is that, okay, oh, I want to ascend, right? Well, what do you do? Oh, raise your vibration. But what do you use for grounding? Well, one of the most guaranteed ways is to ground out to the crystal core of the planet that you're ascending with. So you actually go together with the Earth, and as it becomes the Eden Star of the new Earth. And so this way you are grounded, but the grounding itself is giving you a reference to be able to be very expanded. Because imagine a forest of millions of ascended beings being the trees of life between heaven and earth, fulfilling prophecy through the embodiment of themselves as destiny and legacy and prophecy incarnate. Right. So if you do that and you use earth as a grounding point, you still get to ascend because you're taking the earth with you this time.
And I think that's really important. I mean, I talked on our last show about my awakening, and it was just unbelievable. It must be what it's like to be on LSD or something, some parts of it. It was just so intense and so unusual and bizarre, and things that you really have to be, I don't know even what to say about it, honestly.
As you guys get into finally catching up with your other soul group members and you reach a vibrational soul family, you have this situation to where each of you has a reference to each other. Did we say that or did Patrick? Then you get to then hold place for other people because each of you is like a universe unto yourself. Mm-hmm. And so imagine taking billions of universes and having them organized to where an ascension can occur without messing the whole thing up. So the protocols, even the laws are changing up in the councils and the federation and stuff and the ascended master levels and stuff. So all of this is changing. You guys don't have the exclusive right to this wonkiness that's going on because you guys are really, really raising the bar. You are taking us to the other levels because we did not expect you to get to this level. And now this is the foundation of what you could achieve. So we are not going to go there yet because we're still waiting to see Earth, the new reality show. Who's going to be voted off the rock?
It's a major, the human drama. It's, what can I say?
Yes. And so then somebody was looking at the drama. Yes, they were on a journey, one of those shamanic journeys that was aided with certain things. And so they were feeling the suffering, but then they kept going up and then they started laughing because they saw how much of the illusion was kind of like a joke. And they saw this whole thing. They understood how the matrix operated and it's designed to be broken, right? So it's like if you're going to fix something, like for instance, sacred activism, the first thing that you activist is what? Yourself. So this is what you guys are doing. You are the points of your own possibilities of the highest divine nature. Now imagine you as a full spectrum and you have a humanness, right? But you also have this godness and it's like, whoa. So here you go. You are this point of all possibility. And we have not really seen this in any other ascension. So this is taking, there's even new councils and stuff being formed to study this. And we will be reporting to you as we get this information. And well, it's going to come in the form of revelation for these people going, aha, such as yourself. So hold on.
Very exciting.
Yes.
And one of the, I guess we have more time. One of the other things I had spoken to Patrick about last week and Rebecca was the idea of having beings like yourself, you're a higher dimensional being, and radiant, or I'm not quite sure what radiant is, but anyhow, or just other channeled higher dimensional beings coming in and actually healing past lives, groups of people, and actually collapsing, almost collapsing events, like perhaps even collapsing something like World War II, the atrocities or something like that, so that that past has changed. It's been healed and transformed so that going forward, that energy ends. It doesn't keep that energy, doesn't that negative energy from that past event doesn't keep moving forward into the future, creating future trauma.
Yes. There's a whole set of protocols for intervening on that level, because you want to make sure, and we've done this so many times, thousands of times, in facilitating people, individuals, group souls, consciousness, collective, and individual, is that you have to make sure that certain protocols are met. Like the covenants have to be fulfilled, the consciousness has to be set up, these people have to be qualified to do this. So you have to really be available to be like the mind of God. All these things have to be fulfilled. So if someone is still completing a karmic contract from another life, you cannot just take that away. Mm-hmm. And so that if you have an evolution of an individual, of a consciousness, of an awakening, of even a traumatic event, that has to be fulfilled. Otherwise, if you take it away and change it, because you're talking about, David, getting the powers of God now, where you can affect and have the fate of other people in your hands, then if you took that away prematurely, then you become party to the fact that you just created an incompletion, and now it may have to come back stronger, and you are also responsible for helping to facilitate that. So there's a very specific set of engagement that we can share that we've used to make sure that everything was met, all the requirements. It's like a giant mediation between realms, because you have demons that got the short end of the stick. And you talked with Patrick about actually talking about the true nature of the shadow or the lesser light. What is its true power? Now, if you do experiment, like changing time collectively, of altering the timeline to get to a place where certain resolutes occur that prevent more tragedy and all of that stuff occurs, then this is a taste, a sample of what you're doing. But now you're talking about editing paradigms throughout the timeline. And that is a whole nother thing. So this was something Patrick says, well, why don't we get these super beings like Sedgwick, and we can come in, and or Metatron or whatever, and the angels, you know, we got the hoodie gang from with feathers. Can show up when necessary because they wouldn't want to make this show. Then you have a real interesting show on your hands, wouldn't you? And you guys are vital. Oh, I'm mortal. It's like, oh, really? We just got to open up a few circuits. And then you'll say, okay, I'm remembering to not forget anymore. And so now on a peer-to-peer level, we work together to heal timelines. And that would be a good first experiment, wouldn't it?
That would be really interesting. And I don't know if that's ever been done. And of course, you know, I have special training in past life regression from David Quigley at the Alchemy Institute, who's well known for this. And so we come up with this idea. We can certainly, we're here to try experiments and see what works and see if we can create positive outcomes by putting together different variables and trying different concepts and ideas out to see what works. And this is one of them that Patrick and I and Rebecca and Lana came up with. And
well, if you see, if you're going to do that, what we have done is we've dealt with hundreds of cases of proper intervention. And so we would, as Cartron, would make ourselves available to the protocols to make sure that they are laid out. And that might take a show itself to talk about all of the rules and regulations and laws that apply and how to properly engage this in order to do these things. So once that's set, then you say, okay, and you will have a working group between the different dimensions. You're really talking about angels and humans working together, you know, the gods and the darker ones or whatever. And so this is something that you can imagine how, well, if as much as they can feel excitement, how they would be excited about this, because this has not been done with humans before. There's been esoteric societies and, you know, houses of psychic, whatever, but they've never gone on and says, let's change the timeline and correct the course, because there was a lot of manipulation. Now, if you take out that manipulation, what would happen? And there has to be a proper recordation as well. So boy, did we get into a different subject matter than an ascension. But if you look at this data, this is no longer just talk. This is about actually doing an ascension process with the people. Mm-hmm. If we heal a life in the past where you died, had a malady that came forward with this one, and now you're healed. You don't have that. We change the timeline. We do something called life editing for really traumatic things that are just stuck. And they have fantastic. So then, if you do that, then you have a set of cause and effect that's going to come through the timeline. And then we will talk about that effect and how best to handle it.
By changing the past, we've created the possibility of a new future outcome or new future reality, different from the one that might have occurred otherwise.
Yes, and we have a question for you. What is the shortest distance between two points?
Straight line. I don't know if that's true in metaphysics.
Come on, David, it is bring the two points together. If we want to open up a gate and bring the central sun energy here, we're going to open a gateway and just join it with this one. So take your timeline of that life or this situation, and we're going to plant this. We're going to tweak your brain with this one because we are about ready to drop you past your brain's consciousness and in consciousness of God, primarily located in your heart. And this is for everybody. Okay, so take the omega and the alpha and join them together, and you can have your future become your new past. And this creates a different timeline, and you can actually preserve the integrity of that, because in some ways you really want to preserve that for the recordation in the halls of all wisdom. To where it's like, oh, what happens if we let, a Hitler or something loose? Although there's a lot of other information that was never revealed about all of that, right? So what if you have a catastrophic event and you want to have that as a reference for beings to come in? Well, what happens if we go slowly off course and our moral compass gets broken on a way to evolving a society as it degrades and all this stuff happens? You want to make sure that's recorded one way or the other, or preserve that timeline, and you can create a new past and do a different version of who you've been.
It goes in so many different directions. It's mind-boggling,
Yes,
I did have one other question, though. When you were talking about not interfering in contracts, existing soul contracts and karmic contracts, I do understand that, because people set those up for a reason. Souls, spirits set those up for a reason, and they need to be it's not okay to interfere in people's pre-life plans. At the same time, I thought that at this time, of what we're calling the ascension, I thought that all contracts would be void if we want them to be.
Okay, so in scanning thousands and working with thousands of different people, we found the same patterns, like a lot of this, future life, future whatever book, where you take and you do samples across the board. And the same pattern shows up. You know how that works. And so, like, for instance, when a lot of people did past lives, they talked about the fall, but they never knew each other. And this was when there was a big drop and this other deeper level of possibility of a higher polarized nature came about. So in order to do that properly, there's a process that we have first initialized at the beginning when we came in 1994, this timeline, and that was holographic scanning. And so we can actually show how people can do holographic scanning, probably to where you can comprehend it, where you just scan and you, like, for instance, when we look at you, David, we are not looking at your body. We're looking at the signatures and the vibrations and stuff. And so we look at what is different with itself. And then we use the highest divine reference. So how far you are from that, right, determines the nature of the intensity of the polarity. For instance, right? So the distance from that reference, what is your reference as God, but the greatest, most purest form?
It's so our baseline and where we're at now.
Yes. And so we always scan, but we always say, oh, this is their true nature. They're here in this costumery on this journey of forgetting whatever, but this is who they truly are as a soul. And so when you do that and you holographically scan, you can also scan, like we can scan, we can show you how, because we use the power of God, because we're not separate from it, right? So if we want to scan every covenant, every contract, every life you've ever had, we just do it all at once.
Right.
And then we look at the differences, and that compiles, because it's only relevant to the experience that you're doing right now, not the billions of other possibilities. Otherwise, it just won't work. So when we show you how to scan holographically with the power of God, then we will show you how to establish parameters. So you don't want to scan Australia from Florida right now and accidentally wind up going past the moon. Oops. Okay, too much knowledge. All right. Don't look at that moon base. It didn't happen. No. Establish your protocols first. And so the holographic scanning will allow you to review the capacity and status of covenants. And then through a process of mediation, you then can, in a testimony, you can testify this process to where you can say, hey, guys, this is what we found. And actually file a report for review.
I think I know what you mean, and I can just relate to that, because as an investigator in my career, I was taught to read body language and nonverbal language, and just eventually, as you do that, you develop your intuitive sense as a detective. And so when people approach you, after a while, you're not just reading people's facial expressions and tone of voice. You're actually eventually reading their energy. But what you're getting is impressions of where that person's at, how that person's feeling. And they're just impressions, and they give you something to work with. So you know where that person's at in that moment, so that you are able to work with that person better, where they're at in that moment with their thoughts and feelings.
And you know, we just scanned one of your possibilities, and we can say it right now or talk to you off air or whatever. But it would be really interesting, and it would be a way to engage a lot of people. If you want to hear it now or later, we can tell you what we saw as a possibility.
Okay, well, let's hear it. I guess we have more time to
okay,
on the
show. What if you did Detective David Love as an investigator of prophecy? What is this prophecy? And you took him on this journey, like the Discovery Channel or whatever, and you said, okay, let's look at this. What is this thing? Now, you've done this for years, but not in an official nature of like as a detective. Well, we're going to look at the clues. We're going to see what's happening and the finding of facts and the proof and the performance and all of that and the discovery and all of that. This is what we've done. And because what we are talking about, David, is giving you the powers of creation so that you can then petition God itself. If you see something that really needs to have a reiteration of justice or review or an upgrade of the law, old paradigm stuff that needs to be, you know, renewed, then you could literally, as a detective, discover the information and share it with the world.
That would be amazing. That's an interesting idea. I'll have to talk to you, to Patrick, after the show, I think, and discuss that a little bit more.
Are you okay with it being very popular?
Look, I'm okay with anything, I think, that's a benefit to other people.
Okay. Because we're talking about millions of people. Oh, we did not say that. And so we're just seeing this as a possibility. These are nothing. Okay. The past is never set. It can always change. And that's the whole concept of, you know, this collective changing of paradigms. You know, if you get these beings and you take 12 people times 12, you have that many, 144 or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And you start getting into the divine rhythms of life. You've now accessed the fabric of prophecy itself. And what can you do? Let's see how far this experiment can go. Because if you guys fulfill the protocols of intervention, then we can come in with our powers, and we will then work together with you to create the world as it's supposed to be.
That seems to be what's taking place over the last few weeks. That's what we've been discussing. We've had Dr. Edwige Bing, who you've worked with. I think you've worked with her higher dimensional being in the past, and we've had her on our show doing an ascension process, and that seems to be what we're working towards as part of the super consciousness project as it evolves.
Yeah, we are basically able to have greater energy slip through the cracks, so to speak. the separation of the veils between dimensions. Mm. Having, once we reach that qualificated state, then we can start bringing in this information. So if you're going to meet somebody who's actually figured out something that's super cool in a few months, it might have happened because we've created this ripple now. And in a few months, then it goes back, and 10 years ago, they started it. So you just met them, but it's only a few weeks old. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We've created a different possibility. And so basically it's the different joining and unjoining of different timeline possibilities. It's like this constant thread changing thing that can happen. And once you get a really good system set, then you can solidify it and say, okay, this is a good prototype. This is a good template for ascension because, we're talking about even shadow light, for instance. Imagine the light that is coming in and it has interacted with shadow. Well, now it has a different quality, right? The consistency, the substance of it, the constitution of that light is different because it's been tempered with the shadow or the lesser light, and also that lesser light or the shadow has been tempered with that light. Well, that then fulfilled that part of the spectrum because it was either light or dark. That was the missing piece. And so ascensions can't descend and ascend, and it just really doesn't fit, creates a dissonance and a destruction. So the deconstruction occurs, but if you have that tempered light that can handle the other parts of the spectrum, then look at the possibility. And that's what's been happening for the last 30, 40 years on this planet, is we've getting a lot of tempered light, shadow light, so to speak, that will allow for the full spectrum of journeying, because pretty soon you as gods are going to walk the earth.
Again, all I can say is it's just mind-boggling from my point of view, from where I'm at this moment. But I'm looking forward to it.
Are we giving too much?
I think my mind is now overwhelmed. I'm just I'll talk to Patrick about this off the air, and we'll have you.
We're going to wrap this part up because we've just presented some stuff that really wasn't scheduled from what you guys were perceiving. And so if you want, we can then submit this as a proposal to the people of the world and say, who wants to actually do this test? Who wants to be a part of making a better Earth? Who of you wish to actually be the destiny that you see for this world of heaven on Earth? Who wants to actually make the world the way that it's supposed to be, the way that you see? And how many people want to actually make it perfect? And that is the legacy that you leave. So you guys let David know. Let know whoever is presenting this. Let them know if you...
Oops, I just lost your voice.
It'll be very light. Light here.
We're starting to lose you. I just lost your voice.
Hold on one second.
Oh, there you are.
Can you hear us now?
I can.
Okay. So we are presenting that as a possibility for people, you know. So that's what we are going to do. And let's see how many people are interested in it. The interest will determine the nature of the possibility. How's that?
Sounds fantastic. All right. Well, we're going to end now. So we'll just bring, if you could bring Patrick back, I very much appreciate you being here. Wonderful information, Gartron. Thank you so much for being part of this experience.
Yes, and let's see what we can create as a whole new possibility that was not predicted in any prophecy or, legends. Farewell.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, that was interesting. Boy, was he scanning a lot of stuff.
I couldn't believe all the information that came through. That was just astounding. I'm my mind is just, I'm not sure what to think at the moment.
David, you know, he does that on purpose because this is not really capable of going and doing this project, this experiment, because that's why Cartron takes people to beyond what the brain can really get, because it's not designed to handle the big stuff. So this will be very interesting And so that'll be, yeah, let's see what happens and maybe we'll see what people think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like we've got a lot to talk about after the show or at some point when we can reconnect. But I'm going to end the show now because I think we've probably gone over.
Okay, that sounds good. And thank you very much for having me. This has been very interesting. And every time we connect lately, I've noticed that whole different possibilities come in. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in a year.
It's going to be interesting, that's for sure, to say the least. Okay. Well, thank you for being on our show, Patrick McCormick. And thank you for being with us on Universal Soul Love. We'll see you next time. This is Detective David Love. Thank you for being with us. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.